It's a good 10 minutes, and this is worth it. I just love that Parcells quote when he's mic'd up. He's like, that's why you lift all them weights. I think there's a time where Parcells and I could have been buddies. But it just makes sense. Reminding everybody, all the hours you're putting in, all the days where it doesn't seem like it's worth it. It could be a Sacramento Kings Pelicans game where Zion isn't playing. You're like, what am I doing this for? You're doing it because of last night. You're doing it because last night's a reminder how special this game can be. This is why teams tank. This is why teams try to find a way to see if the next star wants to come to their team. Because if you're running one of these teams and you don't have one of these guys, it's kind of pointless. You can't really say that to your owner. You can't say it to your fan base. You can't say it to your sales partners. You can't go, hey, we signed Carlos Boozer 13 years into his career. I don't know why Carlos Boozer popped in my head. He's a terrific player, but you get the point. You know, you always have to be positive in those roles, even when there's really no point in being positive. And then you have two organizations like last night, littered with players that can change the course of a franchise. And then you have this kid coming over from France who looks unlike anything that we've ever seen before. And you're like, is this really going to happen? And how long is it going to take? If you want to talk about being ahead of schedule, if Wemby were to say, pull this off, I have some crazy Wembanyama thoughts. Maybe I should table and talk about the game first. But I had a moment last night after this game was over. I just kind of sat there and basked in the entertainment and the competition and the talent. And it is why I will always love basketball. And I love a lot of sports. But for a sport that takes a lot of shit, which I am also guilty of giving them shit for on certain things, it is, I think, far too often it's a sport where we add up too much of the bad. Again, I'm part of that. And get these reminders every now and then where it's like, this is how special this game can be. And last night was an all-timer. I'll never forget this game. That's how great it was. So let's talk about it. On Monday's pod, I had said I'd gone back to the fourth regular season game because you just didn't know what the regular season games meant here. I would say there is a carryover of making it hard on SGA that seems even more challenging with this Carter Bryant fella who I could spend 10 minutes on. But I didn't know. You know, I was like, okay, well, this looks real, but is that going to translate when these two teams play against each other? How much is the rust factor going to be there for OKC and that they haven't really been challenged at all with a limited Lakers roster and even a not great Phoenix team that was also limited because of injuries and everything? And then even though Minnesota had injuries, it just felt like there were some more challenges for San Antonio, even some moments in that Portland series. Like, I think, you know, honestly, Portland should feel good about themselves. But one of the matchup things that I thought was going to carry over, and it absolutely did immediately here, was how they were going to use Wemby defensively and what they wanted to assign him to, what they were willing to give up, and the positioning. And it's maybe even more exaggerated in game one. So it's something to think about with this series and then the adjustments that follow it. But they want Wembanyama off the big. Hartenstein, by the way, I don't think this is going to play a ton in this series, if at all. They may pull the plug on that. Not because they lost last night or they've lost 5 of 6 against them, but, I mean, he's somebody even going back to last year where there were certain times where you're like, okay, this is not a Hartenstein matchup for them. But it's not having Wembanyama on Chet. It's having him on Caruso. It's having him assigned to Wallace. There's obviously some possessions where he's assigned to Chet. But the whole point is to try to keep him low. So if Chet's up high, then he's going to be on whatever guard is lower. And that was Caruso in a bunch of these. But OKC took 45 three-pointers last night. And I looked at it this morning. And if you look at who Wemby is either assigned to or who he's helping off, I counted 19 of those 45 attempts were Wemby's guy. That's a lot. And I imagine that's going to be something that continues to happen because of the benefit of it all. Like, if you think of it and you go, all right, well, Alex Caruso shot 8 of 14 on threes last night for 31 points, 11 of 19 overall. Caruso's terrific. And by the way, he had to play the majority of the defensive minutes against Wembanyama. That was their primary thing that I think can still be exploited a little bit more than even San Antonio is doing. But you go, hey, somebody's got to get on this guy, right? And Caruso, and you're like, no, because the math that San Antonio is doing is fine. Go ahead. And even if they had lost the game, right, Because sometimes the result can get in the way of like what you actually want to do. You go, that's actually okay, at least for now, because it's still limiting SGA so much. Because every time SGA is coming up, and I think they'd probably want him to bring up the ball a little bit less than they did last night. I'd have to go back and look specifically for that, but that would take forever. Because they do a good job of trying to get him off the ball. There was some stuff where they were like, hey, let's have him come up off a pin down and then have him start that way instead of just being harassed by Carter Bryant, who's all up in him. This Carter Bryant situation is just phenomenal. To think of like, hey, we're going to take another rookie, another young guy, and there's not going to be a lot of shots for you between Wembanyama, Fox, and now what Harper's doing, and obviously Castle being on the ball so much, and Champagne's going to get some shots, and Vassell's a terrific offensive player. And when Keldon comes in, we need him to drive and make threes and all these different things. So even though Carter Bryant, like, you probably scored 1,000,000 points when you were younger, and you're a one-and-done kid out of Arizona, and the whole point of this is that you went as high as you did because we think there's some scoring in there, you're just not going to be able to – you're just, there's no touches for you, man. So maybe you'll hit an open corner three every now and then. Do you mind just accepting this role of being a defensive demon against the NBA's MVP? Yeah, no problem. I'll do that too. I mean, this roster for San Antonio. So off of everything the SGA is trying to fight here, you're fighting that initially – you're fighting double teams. There was a double team where you could see they had already talked about like, hey, once it's at this point of the shot clock, it's a hard double team to him. Get the ball out of his hands. If somebody is to the left or to the right, they're shading towards him for help. And if SGA is able to even get past any of this stuff, then Wembanyama is just waiting for him. And they're looking at it as he's going to be waiting for him. And we don't care if we're giving up open threes to all of these other guys. You could talk shooting variants of this a little bit. But, you know, look, I mean, Caruso's 29% from three, so that's part of the math of what they're thinking here, and he goes off last night. I did hear some Steph comparisons. I would just say I think it's a little different when everybody on the other team wants you to shoot threes as opposed to when Steph, everybody on the other team's hoping you don't touch the ball. Does that seem harsh that everybody already understands? I didn't need to point that out. Yeah, I would accept that. I want to point to these two plays. There's two plays in this game. I actually had to call a coach in the NBA because I was like, what's happening here? What am I not understanding? So I'm going to share that with you a little bit here. It's 101-99, right? OKC has the ball, right? So it's going to be an inbound. San Antonio's up two. And they have Chet in the right corner. So if you're watching along visually here as you watch this YouTube thing, it would be OKC going right to left on your TV screen. Chet is in the right corner. And they run Jalen Williams left to right to cut in front of the ball, underneath the ball, and then over the top of SGA, who's going to be fighting off of this other screen. And it opens up the entire left side for SGA. They get the ball to SGA. He gets the angle on Castle, right? Terrific that he's just even got this step. But Wemby is now glued to Chet in that right corner. And I'm waiting for him to come over. SGA's looking, waiting for Wemby to come over to help the way that he's helped so much of the entire game. And in this play, Wemby doesn't even get into the paint, because he's still worried about what's going on with Chet. Now, Sean Sweeney, the redheaded assistant coach, who I guess runs their defense, I don't know him. Everybody raves about him. He talks with Wembanyama specifically, because Wemby's asking him, like, what are we doing? And then I didn't pick it up, but, like, Sweeney's explaining to him what that is. So I was like, that's interesting. They didn't want to help off of Chet. And Wemby never even came into the paint, and then SGA ties the game, and we're headed to overtime. So then later in the game, it's tied at 108. There's 26 seconds left in the game. They've got it set up a little different, but I'm wondering, and even the broadcast is like, hey, it's going to be the same play that they tied it up at 101 on. Caruso, though, is in the left corner, and he stays there. So they never get a clear outside over there. Wemby is on Jalen Williams, J-Dub, right? In that corner, the same corner that he had with Chet. SGA gets left. It's not the same angle. It's not the same cut. And again, it's not empty on that side because Caruso's still glued to that left corner. He gets the angle. Then he gets into the paint. And then guess what? Wembanyama helps off of Jalen Williams. Just one of those helps where it's like, don't even worry about it. You're coming hard. You're helping. SGA's totally clogged up. He turns around, throws it out to Jalen Williams, who misses a three. So I was wondering, I know I'm being very dramatic about this, but I was wondering at the time, I'm like, okay, so what was the difference? And the difference is, as it was explained to me, is if you're up two, you're not giving up that three. That would be the rule, especially in a playoff game. You're not letting them take that three there for Chet. Now, if the game's tied and SGA hits a two, then you're going to lose the game anyway. So now you can give up the three. And look, this is somebody who knows it much better than I do, and I still had a hard time accepting it. As I think Wemby on that 1-on-1 tying layup for SGA, I think he could have shown a little bit more help. And I'm telling you right now, like Chet, this Chet Wemby thing is very real. When Wemby gets Chet isolated on him, he froths. He gets like excited. It's like, oh, like he does some shit maybe he shouldn't do. He gets so excited. I remember there was a place I worked, and there was a kid I hated, and we'd play pickup hoops. And again, I wasn't like that great, but this guy sucked, and I really had it out for him. And he said something to me he shouldn't have said, so I obviously never let it go. And I used to get so excited. And I am doing softball stats right now, and I'm sorry, but it was funny because a coworker was like, there's nothing funnier, because he's not even the guy defending you, but there's nothing funnier than watching how excited you get when you get matched up with him and it looks like you want to kill him. And I was like, honestly, I don't even think I'm being that efficient. Wemby's slightly better than I was back then, but you can see it. And it's really funny to see some of this stuff. So the Chet thing where he was, what's the number again? 37 of 38 inside of 5 feet, the first two rounds. He was 0-3 last night. Yes. Small sample, one game here. Chet's just not doing enough offensively, at least for last night. Granted, against San Antonio in the regular season, 12 points per game. I think that's the second lowest he had had against any team in the NBA this year. His usage rate is below 17, which is actually the lowest usage rate Chet has had against any opponent in 25-26 of all the other 29 teams. So something to think about there. But Chet is, and this is a bad habit I think to get into, and I don't know if this is the drill stuff, but he needs to reset and reposition himself on these three. So on the 1-on-1 tying drive by SGA, I was kind of like, do you think you could show into the paint a little bit more to get SGA thinking, like, am I even going to get this shot off? Because you have to think about this dude every single time you think you're going to the rim. I mean, Wallace had one where he was 2 feet away from the rim. He's like, no thanks. Didn't even look. I think he could have maybe shown a little bit more on that. And knowing that Chet resets himself, I don't think he's like a clean catch and shoot guy right now. I think he catches, he wants to get sideways, usually to his right. Although if you're stuck in the corner, it's whatever way is away from the baseline. So maybe in this case, it would have been to his left. But it would be something I'd be thinking about on is there enough time? But if Wemby's coming over to contest that layup and like get up into the rim, then there isn't going to be enough time. And then if he throws it out to Chet, Chet hits the game-winning three. Are we sitting here saying, I can't believe they had Wemby help? And look, the Spurs are very good at this thing, so I'm not saying that they were necessarily wrong. Few other things. After watching the game, I let myself go wild with some thoughts. I'll share them with you here on our YouTube exclusive. I don't even know if I would do these on the pod. So with a 40-20 in the Western Conference Finals or later, so if you go Conference Finals or later, he's the youngest player to ever have a 40-20 game. I don't feel like I appreciated the three-pointer live enough while it happened. I don't know what I was supposed to do. I don't know if I was supposed to go outside and like knock on my neighbor's doors and go, hey, are you aware of what's going on in America right now? Who knows where that would have gone. And then they would have been thrilled because they could have been really excited and be like, do I need to go to the gas station? I'm like, no, turn on Tirico and the guys. Did you see what Wembanyama just did? So 40-20, youngest ever. Seventh player to do it in a conference finals or the NBA finals. That's Kareem, Wilt, Elgin Baylor, a guy named Charles Barkley, Moses Malone, also one of my all-time faves, and Shaq. The offensive rating for OKC, and Goldsberry had this number, our guy Kirk, he had this number that basically when Wembanyama is in the game, OKC's offense excuse me, not OKC, everybody's offense, and this happened last night too, but everybody's offense when he's in the game is worse than the Brooklyn Nets offense in the entire regular season. So as I'm watching it all happen, like, these would be things that maybe if I were a producer, I would say, like, talking points of Wembanyama, of like, what is possible here? Because I was like, is the belt? I'm just so happy that this happened for him, and I hope that it keeps happening for the NBA. Because if you had a Wembanyama New York Knicks final, like, Wemby is going to bring in the eyes that were not going to watch OKC in Indiana last year. All right. And I picked the Thunder in seven. I thought it was going to be an awesome series. I wish I had the balls to pick the Spurs. Game ones, as I say it all the time, can be the most misleading game. I think OKC will figure some of this stuff out. I'm not doing a game one. Oh, my God, I can't believe I picked against San Antonio. They're definitely winning the NBA championship. But if you let your mind go there and go wild of, like, you know, your mom, that's the rule, right? Your mom's going to be like, what's going on? Oh, my God, look at him. That's what Wembanyama is, and that's what he could mean to the league. But, like, from a basketball standpoint, you're going, so he has this body, he has this skill, he has a defensive presence that we may have never seen before, including Bill Russell. And he's also a guy who gets angry, which I absolutely love. I already covered the Chet part of this, right? There was a play where I think he threw it off the side of the backboard, and he was actually a little out of control, but I loved it. Because it'll happen for a little bit. It made me appreciate the elbow, even though it was stupid. I don't care about the Caruso thing at all. Caruso's fouling the shit out of him for the entire game. So he wants to stick his head down and bang into Caruso. Common foul. Boom. Let's keep it moving. But this guy has everything that you would do on a video game. But he also has this personality that is, like, up for the moment, which is now becoming my favorite part of him. And for him, I don't know what he's going to feel like 2 days after having to play that many minutes. And maybe it's a Caruso ground game where it's like, I'm just going to beat on you for seven games, and you're just not going to be as efficient towards the end of this. You're not going to help as quickly. You're not going to cut as hard. You're not going to get every rebound. You're not going to be able to block. Like, we're going to try to wear you down with all these bodies beating up on you, because the smaller players are never going to get called for the foul off the ball on this stuff. It's just, I mean, there's stuff that happens off the ball now against small players that doesn't get called. So never mind against Wembanyama. So I imagine that's part of the game plan here too as well. But if you let yourself, which I did last night as I'm watching it, going like, what if this is it? Like, what if this is it? Like, SGA wins the MVP and you're like, hey man, that's your last one. That's ridiculous, right? Like, hey Jokic, like, I know Russillo and some of those other idiots still think you're the best player in the world. What if that's just over? What if OKC's window, where they win a championship last year and guys are going like, oh, they're going to win the next five. What if that's over after one? And these are irresponsible thoughts. That's why I'm just doing them right now, right? Because, I mean, reality is, even if Wembanyama is now the guy that's going to hold the belt for a long time, you know, San Antonio's not going to win every single championship for the next 10 years. It's just not the way sports work. But I even was starting to think, like, hey, Fox didn't even play last night. Like, I wonder if Fox and some first could get you Ant in a year. I was like, would Ant go like, yeah, I'll play with that freak? Not official thoughts, just thoughts. Castle's entry passes. He may have sent entry passes back 20 years. My God, man. Terrific player. 11 turnovers. I'm trying to figure out what I was watching. He telegraphs it at times. You're also, like, throwing it to a 7-4 target on some of these. I mean, some of it's just him being aggressive, and then you're going to have to take the good with the bad, because there's so much more good, if not great, from Castle with some of the collision plays that lead to a turnover, but entry passes. And I don't know if they did this on purpose, but they ran a play where they wanted to get Wemby a deeper catch, which I still think this stuff is there for them. I think there's a way to get him a little deeper on the catch as opposed to him having to work. But he's such a good passer, I think they like it being more space around him on the catch as opposed to just attack dogs on him on a smaller or closer to the rim area of the floor. Again, I'm not sure. I'm just think there's some times where it's like, man, he caught it deep there. He caught it deep. Like, when he's that close, it's over. Like, maybe a few more catches a little bit deeper instead of some of this other stuff. But then it's like, when you watch Castle and you're like, how can you not get him the ball when he's this massive target, and Castle just can't seem to do it. And sometimes I think he's telegraphing it a little bit, and these defenders are just so good at anticipating some of this stuff. So yeah, to this play that I have yet to mention, but they ran just a very quick like thing to get the ball out of Castle's hands, and then Wemby moves off of Castle to Harper, Harper to Wembanyama, and I'm like, it worked. Because Harper, by the way, I mean, his freaking 24-11-6 for you, second leading scorer game, one of the Western Conference Finals, a rookie who we were like, is how much is he going to contribute to this team? You don't hear a lot of like, hey, they should have taken Con Knipple after these last few weeks with Harper. So just an incredibly impressive night for basketball. Goes without saying about the Spurs getting game one. I thought there was a play like 106-105, OKC's up, Wemby gets stripped by Jalen Williams. They're out in transition. They're looking to push. A.J. Mitchell pulls up for three. I'm 100% expecting that shot to go in and going, man, OKC survived this for a night. But I think there are going to be so many more moments in this series where you're like, you're just going to be happy you're a basketball fan. No mailbag today because some games don't need a mailbag. But we're going to do a big one on Friday. So how about this? Hit us up with some questions. Anything you want to talk about besides tanking solutions, NBA mailbag, rr@gmail.com. And please subscribe to the Ryan Russillo Show podcast, Barstool Sports.